is this a place you could see yourself being long term?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a phenomenal first half of the season here so far playing, and it's been nothing but great. So I could definitely see myself, in that situation. But I mean, obviously, there's some other stuff that we gotta get through and whatnot. But I mean, I've had nothing but a phenomenal time here.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel Sunday mornings on The Score.
Respect to Mike Berman of NBC5. We played the long version on Friday on the Spiegel and Holmes show. I thought he got more out of Kyle Tucker than most of us have all season long, including Tucker admitting that he was really enjoying things at Wrigley, like seeing the ivy come in and seeing all the fans on the rooftops and being on a winning team and all that stuff. So hashtag Operation Woo King Tuck has really picked up a little steam just since Friday. But, it'll be very interesting to see what actually happens in that regard. And this weekend against the Astros is a moment to take stock of the trade with the Astros and see where they are. Interesting conversation with Bruce Levine earlier on in the show, who thinks it's already worth it. The deal is already worth it because of the season you are getting. Everything that's happening right now, and we'll see what happens in the postseason, but the season you are getting right now for the Cubs and for their fans to have all of this enjoyment and have these games of consequence due to the presence of Kyle Tucker is already worth it. Interesting perspective. We go to the phone lines at 312-644-6767. Let's pick it up with Alec in Batavia. Alec, you are on 670. The Score with me, Matt Spiegel. It's Hit and Run. Little bonus Hit and Run this afternoon. What's going on?
Really appreciate you taking my call. Yeah, I have a couple questions and thoughts for you. One, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are. If you think the Cubs made the right decision between picking Matt Shaw or Smith, who is in Houston now. And then secondly, I want to know, what are your thoughts? Do you wish the Cubs would have pursued Alex Bregman a little bit harder? I looked up his stat line. He's batting .299 with an OPS of .938, 11 home runs and 35 RBIs. After watching the last 3 to 4 years of the rotating door that we've had at third base with very little production, it kind of looks like that would have been an all-in move that I would have loved to have seen the Cubs make. So appreciate you taking my call and looking forward.
You got it. I mean, the thing on Shaw and Smith, they would not have fast-tracked Cam Smith the way that the Astros did. They also, Houston did, moved him to right field, and he's taken to that in dramatic effect, which has been incredibly impressive. Cam Smith is a more impressive overall athlete and specimen than Matt Shaw. I mean, that is clear, and that is obvious. But in terms of quality defense and capable professionalism at third base, I'm not sure you get better than what Matt Shaw has given you. Long term, a lot more power on the body and the build and the profile of Cam Smith than there is on Matt Shaw. But I'm not so sure about that one just yet. I can't make a ruling on that one overall just yet. And again, the parameters are different. I will say this. Yeah, man, Bregman. Jed wanted Bregman, thanked ownership for the opportunity to chase, but wasn't allowed to quite finish the deal and go as high as they wanted to go. Red Sox gave Bregman a creative deal that he's going to opt out of. He's having such a good year that he's going to opt out of. Yeah, it would be great to have Bregman. It would be absolutely great. And then Shaw could have been a bench piece. He could have been the Vidal Brujan of this group, or John Birdie could have been the Vidal Brujan and Matt Shaw could have been the Matt Shaw backing up all over the place. Would have been a very different kind of perspective. And yeah, I wish that would have happened. In terms of defensive runs saved, which is the one that I like to look at, 4 defensive runs saved in right field for Cam Smith. Shaw already has that same 4 defensive runs saved at third base in a lot fewer innings than Smith. Good stuff from you there, Sean Sears. Let's go to John in Rolling Meadows on 670 The Score. John, good afternoon. You're on Hit and Run. What's going on?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
My concern also is with the bench. I do not see Justin Turner and Vidal Brujan as being viable bench options as the season goes on. In all honesty, for today, I think Michael Bush has every bit as good a chance of hitting a lefty as Turner has of hitting anything, including the ground, possibly. And you give up so much defense. I would like to see if they can't do anything else. I think they really need to bulk that up a little bit.
Yeah, heard John. You know, it's look, John Birdie's a real solid bench player. He really is. He's a fine bottom of the bench piece. He really is. Vidal Bruján is not. I'd love to see them have that bulked up. By the way, Alex Bregman getting closer to returning for the Red Sox. Just a couple of days ago, Alex Cora announced that Bregman will be getting closer. He's been hurt. Obviously, Yoshida has also been hurt for them. The Red Sox put up 16 runs yesterday. But it's been an interesting ride there in Boston, obviously, with the Devers trade away and some things kind of falling apart for them along the way. Let's continue the phone calls. Wayne is in Tucson on 670 The Score. What's up, Wayne? How are you?
All right. I'm calling about the Roberts situation for one. I think they need they're not going to get nothing for him anyway. Just DFA him. I want him to bring up Braden Montgomery. That kid looks really good. They should be bringing him up. He should be way up higher than high A.
They're not going to hustle him up from high A this fast. They're not going to hustle him up that fast. You got to keep the track and your plan a little more sensible, and not just hustle up a position player. The pitching is different from level to level. The pitching jump, even from Triple A to the bigs, is different. The pitching jump from Single A to Triple A is massive. So he's got to get a little taste. He's got to get a little taste of Double A at the very least. And then you could conceive of it from Double A. We've seen that a little bit, but not just from High A. They're being aggressive, though. Overall, they're being very aggressive. So if you're seeing that and you're wanting more of that, understood. But they're being aggressive and getting guys up there, and especially some pitchers. I think Hagen Smith is going to be up at some point, probably before the season is done. 670 The Score is where you are. Let's connect with our guy Stan in Bellwood right there. Stan, welcome in, man. How are you, buddy? How you been?
I'm okay, Steve. Always enjoying the show. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Kind of made me sit up and think about some things this morning. I don't see it yet with the White Sox, Speaks. I've listened to you. I've tried to, be objective and, take a step back and try to analyze this thing objectively. I think the reason that you and others are a little bit ahead of your skis on them is because they have cleared the very low bar of being a better team than they were last year, which is clear. I like Chase Meidroth. He is clearly a major league player. The White Sox have some live arms, and their catching is set for the future. I'm with you there. There's no denying that. But they're still only a .325 percentage baseball team. They're 9-32 on the road. They have a -83 run differential. They're firmly ensconced in last place in that division. And all four teams in the Central are miles ahead of them right now. The real tell for me is, taking a look at the other last place teams in the American League. And we're talking about Baltimore and the A's. And if I'm either one of those teams, I would not trade positions with the White Sox if I were them. I still would take the Baltimore roster and the A's roster over the White Sox. I just don't see it yet. I they're watchable. I mean, I watch more games than I have the last 2 years. I'll give you that. But I'm still a Chris Getz agnostic, and I'm just not I'm not on that bandwagon yet. I mean, I want to be.
All right, hang on, Stan. Hang on, Stan. Let me ask you something. Great analysis of the major league team, and you have for decades been very wise, very well researched, and well thought out on the major league level. But what I'm hearing is a lack of acknowledgement of things going on below, or an overall momentum based on reports of things below and based on conversation with development people. So let me ask you this. Do you have a lack of willingness to zoom out and look at all that, or do you not believe in this particular brand of all that? You get what I'm saying? I just want to, because I feel like you're hitting it on the big league level, but you're not going to see the fruits on the big league level. It's not about just the big league level right now, and that's the hard thing for people to wrap their head around, and you're a knowledgeable fan, so I want to know where you are in terms of that.
I'm just not where you are. I need to see more to be convinced that the White Sox have been so poorly run, and the organization, the way they do things, and have disappointed me so often and to a really, really horrific degree that I'm not jumping on the bandwagon as fast as you are, and even Stoney. I need to see more. I'm not saying that they haven't made strides. They have. I mean, I'm not blind, but I've been disappointed so often,
yeah,
that I'm just not fool me once, shame on me.
Yeah.
I mean, shame on you, but you know, fool me more than that. You know what the thing. But I mean, that's where I'm at, Steve. I mean, they just have, hey, they put me where I am, and I'm not going to jump back on the bandwagon quickly. They have made strides. I concede that. And I'm not saying that they're unwatchable, but I need to see more and more and more, you know, before I'll be where you are. That's all I'm saying.
Understood, Stan. Understood completely. Appreciate it. Asked and answered. Yeah, man. I hear you. You know, and part of it, look, you can call it gullibility if you want. Gullibility? What is the noun version? Or you can call it faith. Or, you know, and you can question the reasons or say you think it's with good reasons. I like Brian Bannister. I believe in that dude. Ryan Fuller, growing on me. Here's Ryan Fuller from inside the clubhouse yesterday on the Sox young bats in the system and on the big league level.
There are a lot of success stories up and down the organization, and obviously at the big league level, we've seen a lot of young guys come up and produce, and that's not always the case. Usually when you look at guys come up to the big leagues, there's usually an adjustment period and struggling, but we've seen with Chase Mydras, Kyle Teal, Edgar Caro come up and really showcase their skills and bring energy and enthusiasm to what we're doing. And then across the minor leagues, it's Brayden Montgomery, Sam Antonacci. We've had some really good performances up and down the organization. So when you look at the health long-term, it's really exciting, and we're looking forward to seeing more guys come up and contribute.
So there's Ryan Fuller, and you know, there's a lot I'd like to ask Ryan Fuller about different methodologies and different guys, but really the methodologies and kind of how things are working, because that's where the possibility for optimism remains. It speaks with you on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We'll do some blue pits and give you that couple of details about the Cubs and the Astros, which is coming your way after our show right here on 670 The Score.
Now a little bloop single, and the Cubs can take the lead.
Bloop hits with Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run.
Oh, yeah, we take you around the league every week, just about every week, with the newly perfected bloop hit sound effect by our guy Sean Sears. Got a whole bunch of them. We'll start with this one, but let's hear the sound effect as we head into Trey Turner's at-bat the other night.
Fly ball left field. Pretty well hit. Going back on it is Verdugo, and it is gone. Wow. It's another home run for Trey Turner. And it's now 12-0 Phillies.
They all count, Tom. They all count.
He's laughing.
What a day. Holy moly. Nice easy swing. He didn't even really try to impact that. Just short and quick with it.
Trey Turner already had a homer, a double, and a single. He's batting off a position player there, and he said after the game that he was openly trying to get a triple for his fourth cycle. No one's ever had four cycles. He wanted it. He said the first two swings, he was trying to hit a line drive down the right field line. And then he happened to get lucky and homer. He was hoping it bounced off the wall. Instead, it's a home run. He said he considered not stepping on home plate. So what would go in the books as a triple, but he wasn't sure of the rules, so didn't do it. And a 12-0 laugher, Trey Turner wanted that fourth cycle bad. Didn't get it. How about another bloop hit?
Here's the pitch to Kurtz. He launches this one out to right field. It's going back, and Nick Kurtz has homered in New York. Welcome to the Big Apple for nothing A's.
Take a bow, Kurtzy. Aaron Judge not going to be able to make a play on this one, and the lefty leaves the yard.
Seven home runs for Nick Kurtz in the last 13 games, 12 on the season.
There it is, seven homers and 16 RBI over his last 15 games now for Nick Kurtz. Braves got one, man. They have a lefty first baseman with pop. That kid, when he swings on stuff that's in the zone, he is the truth, is Nick Kurtz. And then my guy, the thrill of MLB in some ways, incredibly speedy Chandler Simpson, is back in the big leagues.
From the offense.
Into center field. Is it going to hang? And it's caught. Simpson got there challenging that sinking liner and outran it to that spot and made the catch. Nice job.
He is 6-for-19 since coming back up with a triple and two steals in five games. They sent him down to work on defense, and now he's back. 21-for-25 on stolen base attempts in his first 40 games. That kid is the real deal, and if the defense holds, he'll stay here for a long, long time. Somebody else who's been around a long time is the 33-year-old Mike Trout, and he's back swinging well.
And Trout lines one to left field. This is deep. Wood is back at the wall. Trout has tied it.
How great is that to see from Trout? A line rocket out of here. 106.2. Now it is nine away from 400 for Trouty. What a swing. Big moment swing for Trout.
Classic Mike Trout home run swing right there.
Exactly, Wayne. Perfect description of that. That's exactly Mike Trout's swing there.
Wayne Randazzo and Mark Gubiza on Angels Television. He is back as a designated hitter. He's hit 290 with a 427 OBP and a 430 slug with four homers, a double, and 13 RBIs since coming back off the injured list. Dude's a Hall of Famer already, but the game is better when he is back in. Sad that the Angels won't have Ron Washington the rest of the way, the manager on an on a medical leave the rest of the way, the rest of the entire season. So that's too bad. But man, those Angels are playing well and not too far back of the final wild card spot in the American League. How about another bloop hit? Just an interesting fact that through the first 81 games, the Toronto Blue Jays are 44-37. That is the third time in 4 years they've had exactly the same record. Imagine being a Blue Jays fan, being decent. Your team is decent. That's 7-for-500. That's exciting on some levels. It's hopeful. But you're in a division with the Yankees and sometimes the Orioles and always the Rays and sometimes the Red Sox in terms of which teams are good, and you're just not good enough. You are the Blue Jays, three of the last 4 years at 44-37. The year before that, they were 43-38. And you've got stars you're deciding whether to hold on to, extend, or trade. And you just can't get off the treadmill of being just above mediocre. Sort of a weird spot to be in for Toronto and their fans. How about another bloop hit from the Braves and the Phillies?
Now bases loaded for the Braves. Lack of power all year long. They don't have a grand slam. Murphy's in position for one now to try to bust the game open. Three straight hits for the Braves. Make it four! And make it four runs! Grand slam! His first in a month makes it a five-run lead for Atlanta.
Well, I'd say that's a feel-good inning all the way around for the Atlanta Braves hitters and for Schwellenbach. Now a five-run lead.
So that from Fox, Adam Amin, and John Smoltz. Spencer Schwellenbach, who they mentioned there, 12 strikeouts for Spencer Schwellenbach. He was absolutely awesome. And he will probably be an all-star and ought to be. But Sean Murphy's grand slam at 114.4 mile-an-hour exit velocity, it was loud and it was fun. One more bloop hit for you. The Babe Ruth of our lifetime is back on the mound and throwing it really hard.
He had great control glove side against the left-handed hitters.
First walk of the season for Ohtani. First and second for Pasquantino. 99 at the knees, strike one. Ohtani checks Witt on second. Focuses on Pasquantino. And busts 100 on the inside corner.
So you said inside corner, so that's glove side. He's got, you know, he's got the left-handed hitter, so he can't yank that pitch so much.
On the ground a second. Kim has one, and there is two.
That's a double play. 4-6-3 ends the inning. A run's a hit, a man left, and after one full at Kauffman Stadium, it's the Dodgers nothing, Royals nothing.
Shohei Ohtani hit 99, then he hit 100, and then he hit 101 on three straight pitches. Boy, just an unbelievable weapon, almost back now to full power for the LA Dodgers. There are your bloop hits right here on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel has been your host of Hit and Run. We are done. Thank you so much to our guests today. What a pleasure to talk to Bruce Levine earlier and Steve Stone and Aram Layton as well. Great job by Sean Sears, who produces the program. Jonathan Cannon and Justin Verlander down at Guaranteed Rate on a Nancy Faust Sunday. Head on out there if you're looking for something to do. Jameson Taillon and Framber Valdez in Houston for the Cubs and the Astros. That's coming up next right here on 670 The Score. I'll be back with Spiegel and Ohms tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend. Thanks so much for listening to Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.